We started last week with life's purpose and talked about it during the struggle. This morning, we're talking about life's purpose following the call. Let me ask a couple of questions as we get started this morning. How many of you think you have a call of God on your life? Okay. Now, I know in church, sometimes people don't like to participate, so I'm not going to take the no hands for maybe you just don't understand. Let me ask this question. How many feel they're fulfilling the potential of their call? That's interesting. If the same amount participated, it kind of got half staff, you know? Both questions are really kind of tough to answer. The first question we want to answer, you know, I know God has a call, but somewhere it still comes with a question in the back of our minds saying, am I really doing the right call? You know, am I in the right place? Am I doing what he wants? The second question, of course, says, am I doing what God wants me to do? But sometimes we can think we're right in the middle of God's perfect plan, while at the same time we're going, God, am I right in the middle of your perfect plan? Because we struggle going, God, am I really doing? Am I acting? Is this where I'm supposed to be? As we launch into this thought about following the call, you need to know each one of us is unique. Each one of us has been created for a life's purpose that helps to fulfill the will of God. Let me read to you from Psalm 139, 13 to 16. It reminds us of God's plan. Listen carefully. For you, speaking of God, created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. And if you're not pro-life, you ought to be after reading that scripture. Your eyes saw my unformed body. Now listen carefully. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. All the days ordained for me and for you were written in God's book before one of them came to be. Heavenly Father, we pause to ask you to help us follow the call that you wrote about our lives. Help us see that and go hard after it. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, God has a plan for your life. He has a book about your life. Think about it. I didn't make that up. That's what the Bible says. And in that book is written what God would want to do through you in your life, what he has ordained from his thoughts about our life. I mean, he made us. He formed us in the womb. We are his. And of course, it takes us learning who our maker is and then trying to understand the design that he has for our lives. The very first design I want you to know for us is for us to know his son, Jesus Christ. He is the Redeemer and the Savior of our soul. He's the one who paid the price for our sin so we could be restored and redeemed to fulfill our life's purpose. So our goal now as believers is to find out what God, or how God, or where God, or when God wants to use our lives. Our question many times, though, comes back with why God? I mean, how could you use my life? Well, know this, he can because he purposed you for a call. And so we just need to keep following the call of God, no matter where, when, why God wants to use our lives. Now, last week, I talked about enduring the struggles. Like it or not, that is going to be a part of our life's purpose. You go, I don't like that part. I don't either. But it's God's word, because it is in and through those struggles that we learn who God is. It's in those struggles that we are taught how to handle life. Paul the Apostle puts it this way in Romans 8, and since we are his children, is that an amen to that? We are his heirs. There's another amen. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. Amen. But if we are to share his glory, we must also share his suffering. Yet, what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal in us later. Listen to this verse. For all creation, every flower and leaf and grass and tree and dirt, all creation and whatever those stars and planets that are out there, they are waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. You see, God has a plan to change you one day. One day we're really going to be changed, the Bible says. But while we're here on earth, God is also working to change our lives. But it does not come without struggles. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we're not crushed. We are perplexed. Anybody? A little bit perplexed? But not driven to despair. Church, we have a God who is our maker, who is on our side, who is helping us find and fulfill our call. Listen to 1 Corinthians 10:13. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. That's the key. God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Church, we will endure, but to do that, we have to stay close to God. We got to stay close to the call of God. That's why Paul goes on and tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. It's going to be a fight. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So hold to your call. Church, you are called of God, and you have made that declaration of faith in God. So now it's time to walk it out. Whether you know it or not, God desires to use you to make a dramatic difference in the world. I know you're saying dramatic. Listen, anything we do for the Lord, anything we do to turn someone from darkness to light is dramatic. We are in a drama story with the Lord as he works in and through our lives. Think about the story of Esther. How many remember the book of Esther and the story? There's a statement that was made by Mordecai to Esther. Probably when she heard it, or even Mordecai said it, they had no idea how powerful the words would be for future generations. Or how many times this statement would be said time and time again. Here's the statement in Esther 4:14. You probably know it. And who knows but that you have come to a royal position for such a time as this. How many have ever used those words, for such a time as this? Yeah. After that statement is when Esther discovers her call. The God story through Esther saved an entire nation, which was the nation of Israel. It was because Esther fulfilled her call, and the Lord had ordained in his book for that time. But there's other stories in the Bible, like in 2 Chronicles, where the opposite thing happened because they didn't fulfill their call. They didn't inquire of the Lord. We're told that King Asa wanted to make a treaty with the king of Aram. But listen to it in 2 Chronicles 16. At that time, and you can make up however you want to say his name here. Hey, Nani, I just make up stuff. The seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, because you relied on the king of Aram and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Aram has escaped from your hand. And listen what he tells them the story. Were not the Cushites and the Libyans a mighty armor with great numbers of chariot horsemen? Yet, when you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. And then we have these words in verse 9. And you probably have heard it, but maybe didn't know where it was found. And here it is. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. The eyes of the Lord, you may have heard it, go to and fro through the earth. But he's looking for someone committed to him. That means God's looking for people he can work through. People he can strengthen to fulfill his plan, his ordained call, because they are committed to him. God wants to work in and through your life's purpose. But the big question, is your heart fully committed to the Lord? Is it really your desire to be used in a powerful way for his purpose? Church, God's call is always unique for every purpose, and I'm going to talk more about that next week when I talk about running the race. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and give you a hint. It's running your race. But today, let me come back and focus on following the call. The call of Abraham and Sarah is very interesting. It's amazed me. It's an amazing story. This call for Abram is really a transformative experience. In fact, it's here that the call starts in chapter 12 of Genesis. Let me read four verses to you. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I'll make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. My first point I want you to hear today is this: God desires partnership. In the first 11 chapters of Genesis, we have the creation of the world, then we have the fall of mankind. And then we have this sad spread of sin and its effect on the entire world. We have the story of Noah and the ark, and then the Tower of Babel. That story tells the story of how man tried to write his own story. Listen to Genesis 11:4. Then they said, come, let's build a great city for ourselves, with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world. But in chapter 12, a dramatic change happens. The focus moves from what God was doing in the world to an individual. In fact, for many chapters, he deals with an individual. God wanted to redeem and restore the people of this world, but God would not do it alone. God would now join with mankind, and they would work together. And so God calls Abraham, and then later he has a wonderful purpose for his wife, Sarah. You remember that story. Abram, if you remember, though, was the son of Terah. Just so you know, Terah was part of an idol-worshiping family. In fact, it's very possible, because Abram was 75 years old when he got called, that Abraham probably worshipped idols at one point in his life. Listen to Joshua 24:2. Joshua said to all the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates River and worshipped other gods. But it's God who calls Abraham out of that. Listen to the verse again in verse 1 of chapter 12. The Lord said to Abraham, now we get lost in the land he's going to, but listen to what God is calling him. Go from your country, your people, and your father's house. Go from your country, go away from your people, and go away from your father's house to the land I'll show you. God called Abraham away from those things so God could use him. In many ways, it really, you're like, God, I really want to choose somebody who's been 75 years in idol worship? But that's how God works. He doesn't call us based on who or what we are, but rather the who and the what he wants to do with our lives for those who want to be committed to him. There's really nothing about Abram that we have that made him stand out. Nothing good about him that made God really choose him. And really the same is true of us today. There's nothing good in us that causes God to choose us. God's call on our life is because he desires to call us because he wrote a book about you. And he does it where we are and as we are and leads us to that place to become everything he wants us to be. Throughout the Bible, God continues to use mankind to bring God's kingdom near. Why? Because God desires partnership. God calls Moses, if you remember, from a burning bush. Later, a shepherd boy named David. And then he becomes the king. God calls prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, so many others. He calls a little girl named Mary to be the mother of the Son of God. Jesus says, Peter, James, and John, come follow me, and along with 9 others who become his disciples. And then there's other people like Mary Magdalene and the 2 sisters, Mary and Martha, and their brother Lazarus. They were all called to be followers of Jesus. It was God later who calls Paul the Apostle to be a missionary and a theologian for the church, not only of then, but of now. Throughout the ages, God's called people to specific tasks, particular ministries, and God's calling continues in our lives today, and it will until he comes again. God wants to partner with you. God wants to work with you in doing his will to redeem lost souls. Later in Abram's life, God reiterates the call. Some 24 years later. I won't get into all the teaching around that, but in Genesis 17:1, when Abram was 99 years old, sometimes the call is different seasons and times. Because the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I'll make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Abraham fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be called Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I'll make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. So God doesn't just call Abraham. He calls his descendants as well. And God is calling you. Stay open to his call, because God wants to partner with you. Second point, know this, there's a cost to the call. This is where it gets exciting again. Everybody's like, I like the call. There are times that we might be tempted to kind of envy people who've been called to a certain task. Abraham, he's called to be the father of faith, the father of, by the way, father of monotheism. He is now believing in one God. He's going to become the patriarch of the nation of Israel. But Abraham's call was not an easy one. Abraham and Sarah had to leave the land that they knew about, the family they knew about. He had to leave his father. Church, at times there's a cost to our call. There's a price to our discipleship. Over in the New Testament, Mary, the mother of Jesus, of course, she, think about it, how honored it is to be called the mother of the Messiah. But it made her life difficult. Mary had to suffer the shame of being an unwed mother, and she went through the nightmare of watching her firstborn son be crucified on a cross. But Mary, early on in her call, said this, "I am the Lord's servant." Mary answered, "May your word be to me be fulfilled." You have to know there may be a cost. Not every call has a cost, and different calls require different costs. Some are great, some are small. For me, early on in my call, I left my family in Mississippi. And then another season of our life, Tammy and I left the United States and went to Canada. You go, well, it's just a little ways away, but we left our family, and it was seasons, it was hard. But I tell you this, it was worth the price for what God did in us in that season. I know that your call will be worth the price, great or small. So remember, God desires partnership. Know there may be a cost to the call. And lastly, you are called to be a blessing. Church, you are blessed to be a blessing. God tells Abraham that God will bless him so that he can be a blessing to others. God proclaims the very same message to us. We are blessed to be a blessing. Our call, our blessings from that call are not to be hoarded or accumulated for ourselves. Blessings were always meant to share. It's those blessings that allow us to live beyond ourselves, so that we can serve God with the gifts, the talents, and the abilities, and then to do whatever God calls us to do. So church, we are blessed so that we can leave a legacy. Abraham discovered that he was at his best when he was where God wanted him to be. God desired partnership. There may be a call, cost to the call. But know you're called to be a blessing. Church, we will be at our best when we're living out our call and fulfilling our life's purpose, doing it by following the call. I don't know if everyone in here has given their life to Jesus, but let me just pause for a moment and ask you to bow your heads. If there's someone who has not surrendered your life, the first part of your call is giving your life to Jesus. You go, well, how do I give my life? It's asking him to be Lord of your life. And then all the mistakes you've made, that's the power of the gospel where he goes to the cross on your behalf. So you can be forgiven because sin separated us from God. God loves you, and he has a book about your life, and he wants to fulfill that call. And if that's you this morning, and you want God to fulfill that call in you, and you've never surrendered, or maybe you need to surrender again because things have come and pushed that call away, would you just slip your hand up, and you can put it back down, but I want to pray with you today. Is there anyone? Yes, sir. Just looking around. Let's just pray together, and whether it's one or whether there's other hands that weren't raised, just that we just confirm that call today. Would you say, Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. I ask you to be Lord of my life. The story you have, I want to be my story. I want to follow the call that you have for me. I surrender. Your Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you.